The Lady of Bastine hung in orbit over the glistening golden crescent of Tatooine. Anna leaned stood at the giant observation window in her cabin and looked down. It seemed so strange to see a world like this for the first time. Tatooine had more clouds from this angle than she had ever seen from the ground. Ben's Alderaanian patron, whoever he or she was, had come through not only with the university fellowship, but with first-class accommodations. Lady had not been expected to launch until early that morning, and Annalene had figured on taking the kids to the Twin Shadows Inn. But Lady's compartment dwarfed any room to be had on Kerner Plaza, and so, after dropping off their cargo, the family had simply stayed aboard. They'd left only to close her bank account and to dispose of Glomer's snazzy land speeders. One they'd abandoned with a note of apology in Garndell Roy's lot. The JG-8 he'd leased to Orin wouldn't be coming back after all. The other they'd sold to a dealership close to the spaceport. They deposited the proceeds, along with what extra she could afford, in a parcel addressed to Lily at the claim for distribution to the Settlers Fund members. It wasn't enough, but it was necessary. Annalene had barely felt the ship's launch, refusing to stand glued to the window as her children had. She'd wandered the inner halls for hours as the vessel orbited, awaiting rendezvous with a shuttle bearing more passengers. Annalene looked like she belonged, in the fancy chandrelin gown her husband had bought her. She finally had a place to wear it. But she didn't feel as though she'd gone anywhere yet. No, her thoughts had remained on the ground, still back at the little hut on the edge of the mountains. Callie had been devastated by Ben's refusal to join them. Jabe, simply confused. Annalene had been both. She had walked and wondered, replaying every short moment she'd spent with him, trying to see how she'd misunderstood. She didn't know if she believed Ben's family story at all, and she wondered again and again if she'd left too abruptly. Orin's deception had stung her, and Ben's words had struck her hard. But clearly, the man was genuinely committed to something that kept him there, and that was what mattered. In the end, she'd been left with a puzzle as impenetrable as the Joondalen wastes themselves. And now, in her cabin at last, she could see that rugged land as it began to slip behind the Terminator into night. Down there, the suns would be setting on Mos Eisley, with the scoundrels freer to work their mischief. Dewbacks on the ranches would settle down and snooze. Sand people in the hills would be on the move, preying on the helpless. And patrons of the claim would come to terms with the new ownership and drink to forget their workdays. She hoped someone was keeping Bomer's carafe full. Her children joined her at the window. "We'll be going into hyperspace soon," Callie said. She looked at her mother. "Thinking about Ben?" Annalene shook her head. "The store," she said. "When your father died, I swore to myself I wouldn't let the store go under, if it was the last thing I did. It was all I could do for him, to remember him." "You did fine, Mom," Jabe said. She looked at him, so handsome in his dress clothes. He looked just like his father. "I did do fine," she said, putting her arm around him. "And I pushed you to help me. And I'm sorry. That wasn't your dream." She smiled weakly. "It wasn't mine either. But I felt like I had to stay for it." Callie moved closer, and Annalene embraced them both. I think, maybe Ben's doing the same thing," Annalene said. "He's not staying on Tatooine because he wants to. I think he thinks he has to. Maybe somebody entrusted him with something he feels he has no right to abandon. Someone else's dream, maybe. Like Danar in the store." Sniffling, Callie looked up. "But you're leaving." Eyes glistening, Annalene gave a crumpled smile. "I did my time," she said. "Ben hasn't yet. But who knows? Maybe in 5 or 10 or 20 years, he'll have done his time too." Her children at her side, she looked down from space as the ship's engines revved up. "Goodbye, Ben," Annalene whispered. and thank you. Outside, the world blurred and vanished. Meditation. It has been a long couple of days, but I don't feel tired. This was another test, Qui-Gon, wasn't it? When you finally answer, you must tell me what you thought of my solution. I know where I am now. I'm in the rain shadow. Being near all the big events in the galaxy, I was on the mountaintop for many years. Now I'm on the back on the lee side. It's supposed to be dry here. But I'll leave the shadow one day. I've been keeping watch tonight over the Lars farmhouse, and looking to see something else, up there, over the horizon. I think that must have been the passenger ship. Stars don't disappear. They're safe above. Luke is safe below. And I will be okay. It's a long way back to the house, Qui-Gon. May the Force be with you. It's time for me to go home. This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars Kenobi by John Jackson Miller. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson, executive producer Aaron Blank. Star Wars Kenobi is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2013, all rights reserved, used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music master production copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved. Audible.